Okay, this week is Matas Masay. It's also in the middle of the 3 weeks, Mishchadish Av, the 9 days. So we'll try to cover a little bit of the parasha and Yonah V'yayimu as much as we can. Okay. Parashas Matas starts off discussing Nedarim, which we're learning right now, Masechta Nedarim. And the second pasuk in Perek Lamed pasuk Gimel, Ish Kiyida Neder Hashem. A person makes a neder to Hashem, or a shvua, lo yachal devarai, he can't profane his word. Kechol hayayit mipiv yaseh, he should do whatever comes out of his mouth, follow his words. So I saw brought that, I don't know whom the Makar is, a very nice remez in this pasuk is some of the halachos that we learned in Masechta Nedarim. We learned in the beginning of Masechta Nedarim, there's a rule, how does a person make a neder? A person says, this is asur on me, like a carbon. This is asur on me, like hektish. He makes a neder. There's a rule that he has to use a davar ha-nadur and not a davar ha-asur. That means if he says, this is asur to me, like chazar.
No,
it's not a neder. Because chazar itself is not asur due to a neder. Chazar itself, the Torah asurt. A neder only takes effect if he says, this is on me like a carbon. Because a carbon itself only became a carbon due to my words. That's called a davar ha-nadur v'loy ha-davar ha-asur. If you look at the trup on these words, ish kiyida neder l'ashem. The trup on kiyida neder is a kadma v'azma. What does kadma v'azma mean? Kadma is a lotion of going forth. Azla is a lotion of traveling, going on, kadma. A lotion of kaidim v'azma. If the neder is used, it's made with a dover ha-kaidim. That's something that already had a pre-existing iser, such as chazer, a dover ha-asma, then va'azla. Then the neder goes away. Kadma va'azla. Then a neder is not valid, the neder goes away, because a neder is only asr if he uses a dover ha-nadur, that which itself is a neder, not a dover ha-asma.
But hektish is asr also.
Only because I said it's hektish.
No, hektish.
Or someone else made it hektish.
But it's always asr to you.
But only because somebody made it hektish. Chazer's asr is a Torah asr chazer. Big difference. The trump on the word Lashem is a revi. A remez to the four types of nedarim that we learned are not valid nedarim. We had four types of nedarim that are exempt, that are not nedarim. What are the four types? Nidri Oinsin, Zeruzin, Shigogois, and Havai. Person makes a neder due to an oinus, or he exaggerates, or it's a shargeg, it's a mistake, or from Mizaris somebody. He wants to encourage somebody to do something, he makes a neder as encouragement. Those four nedarim are not valid. Again, a remez. Ish ki yidah neder l'ashem. The trump on neder is an azla. L'ashem is a revi. Azla revi. The four nedarim, azla, go away. The four nedarim are not valid nedarim. Okay. It's a little remez to the, from the dina we learned in Masechta Nedarim. Go yachel devaroi k'chol ha-yayitzim mipiv yaseh. Don't profane his words. How careful a person has to be when he makes a neder to keep his word. And the gedolim were very, very careful to keep their word in all circumstances. And a short story they say over, Rabbi Shul Leib Diskin, one of his Talmidim was Nifter, and after the Shiva, they made a Hesped. After the Hesped, they said a Kir Mali Racham. And after the Kir Mali was finished, the Olam left. Rabbi Shul Leib Diskin was the last one left in the Shul, and he went over to the Gabbai, and he reaches into his pocket, and he takes out some money, and he says, here's a donation for the Shul. So the Gabbai said to him, Mayhai, why now? So Rabbi Shul Leib said, because we just made a Kir Mali. And at the Kir Mali, we said, Bavur Shekol HaKol, Noidim Stokol, Liyu Nishmasli. Because the whole Kahal, with the Noid Stokol, Liyu Nishmas, the Nifta. And he says, everybody left. I'm afraid they'll forget to come back and give it Stokol here. So I want to be Mekayeng these words, that this should be Kabbalah, Neder, that was said for naught, that was said for no reason. And he gave the Gabbai Stokol on the spot. How careful a person has to be when he makes a neder, a kabbalah, to go ahead and carry.
You make a neder, and I knew something, but you don't get nothing from this. You make a neder, you're going to eat an apple.
Right.
And I say, right, I'm also not going to eat an apple. Makes any difference to you?
No. That's not a case here, but Bavur Shekol HaKohol. The Kahal can mean anybody.
Oh,
he gave on behalf of the Kahal. He gave the Gabbai stock on behalf of the Kahal. So I saw a story today. I'm going to say it over. Just be careful where you say it over. That's all. Okay. Rav Shaul Mikaminkel was a godel in his own right, and the way the story goes, somebody from a nearby town came to Rav Shaul and said to him, "We have a problem in the town. The mikveh in the town is falling into disregard, disrepair, and the mikveh needs a lot of repairs. It needs to be redone. And we don't have the money to fix up and to rebuild the mikveh. What should we do?" So Rav Shalom asked them, "Is there a gevir in the town? Do you have a rich, person in the town who could sponsor the mikveh, who could help to rebuild the mikveh?" And they said, "Yeah, there's one person in the town, Rav Asher, who's a wealthy gevir. He has enough money to pay for the mikveh, but he's a miser. And you're not going to get one red cent from him. He doesn't give us very little, and there's not a chance in the world that he's going to sponsor the rebuilding of this mikveh. Rebbe, can you help us out? What should we do?" So Rav Shalom said, "I'll tell you what. I'll come to the town for Shabbos, and let me meet this gevir, and we'll see. We'll see what happens." This gevir, on the outside, was very wealthy. Had a beautiful mansion, a beautiful house. But him and his wife were fighting like cats and dogs. They had no shalom bias. You know the story? No? You okay? Okay. So they were fighting like cats and dogs. No shalom bias. One of the major parts of the fight was that he was such a miser with the money, and he didn't give her any money, and they constantly fought. So even though on the outside everything looked nice and rosy, on the inside he was very bitter, very upset. Came to a point he really hated her. The Rebbe comes to Shabbos, and Matzoy Shabbos, he has Kabbalah Sakal, he's Makabel, everyone to come, he asks for a bracha, shalom, and Rav Asher comes to see him. And the Rebbe says, "Rav Asher, shalom aleichem, here a gevir, and so on, tell me, what can I do for you, how can I help you out?" He says, "I'll tell you the truth, my life is bitter, I have a miserable life, I can't stand going home, my wife and I, we fight the whole time, I can't stand it, I don't even want to live any longer. Why am I alive for if I have to deal with her?" But he says, "Rebbe, 1 minute. Can you give my wife a klala? Put a klala on my wife. Put a curse on my wife. That she should leave this world. And this way, my life will be worth living." So, Shalom thinks for a minute. And he says, "Are you sure you want to do this? I have an etzah for you if you really, really want to do this." And Rav Asher says, "I'm as sure as could be. What's the etzah?" Rav Shalom tells him, we learned that ba'ova in the darim shalish shaladam ishtay mesa. If a person makes the darim and he doesn't keep his word, for that avera, his wife dies. She says to the gevir, "I have an etzah. Make a real good nether and make it as strong as could be, that you can't be matter a nether and don't keep it. And the punishment will be that the wife will die." So he says to the Rebbe, "Does it work?" "Absolutely. So tell me, Rebbe, what nether should I make?" He says, "You know, I have the perfect nether for you to make. The mikveh in this town needs to be repaired, needs to be rebuilt. Make a nether right here that you take it upon yourself to rebuild the mikveh." "Rebbe, I can't do that. The mikveh is too much money." No. Fine, no problem. I'll make the nether. I'll be makabel myself. To rebuild, and I'll make it the strongest nether I can make. A nether al das rabim, shein lehafara, a nether that the chacham can't remove. It's impossible to cancel this nether. The nether will go into effect. I won't keep it, and she's finished." Hey. Rebbe says, "Good." And he makes a nether in front of the Rebbe. Shake hands. "You sure it's going to work?" "Absolutely." And Rav Asher leaves. Rav Asher goes home. Every day he's looking at his wife. No, is something going to happen already? He's not keeping the nether. No intentions of keeping the nether. A week goes by. A month goes by. Half a year goes by. And she's as strong as can be. Nothing's happening. He's very upset. So he travels to the Rebbe and he says, "Rebbe, what's happening? I made the nether and I'm not keeping it. And she's supposed to go. She's as healthy as can be. What's happening?" So Rav Shalom says, "Oh, 1 minute," he says to him. "It says in the Gemara that ba'ova in the darim, shaladam ishtay mesa, his wife dies. Ishtay, you have to treat her like a wife. If you treat her like a wife, then the Gemara comes true. But if you fight with her the whole time, and you treat her like an enemy, not like a wife, then the Gemara is not true. Ishtay, has to be his wife. You want it to come true? Yeah, go home and stop being nice to her. Be a mensch to her. Stop being nice to her. If you go home and you stop being nice to her, treat her with a little respect, give her a little money, be nice to her, you treat her like a wife, then the klala will come true." Fine. He goes home, and suddenly he's a changed person. He walks in a door, he says hello like a mensch, he gives her money, starts being a mensch, helping around the house. And she's looking at him, what happened? What happened to him? In all these years, he's never been like this before. And this goes on for a week, and he's waiting and waiting.
And he's still alive.
And slowly but surely, she starts to change also. He starts acting like a mensch towards her, she starts acting like a mensch towards him. And as the weeks go on, they sort of begin to get together a little bit. And suddenly he says to himself, you know what? Life's not so bad anymore. She's actually a mensch. And he's a mensch, and it's very good. And he says, I hope nothing happens to her.
Oh, no.
One day he comes home, and she's not feeling well. She's not feeling well. Calls the doctor, says, your wife's not feeling well. He says, oi, the call was going to come true. I don't want her to go. We're getting along. Things are working out. I don't want her to go. He runs back to the Rebbe. He says to the Rebbe, what should I do? Actually, life's not so bad anymore. We're getting along with each other. We're nice to each other. I think it's workable. We could work it out. We have shalom bayis. But the Gemara, the Klala, the Neder, what should I do? Take the Klala off. So the Rebbe says, of course there's a way to heal your wife. She shouldn't be sick. If you keep the Neder, you mekayim the Neder, then the wife won't have to die. It's only for not keeping the Neder. Just Rebbe, you know, I can't keep that Neder. That's a treasure to pay for that mikveh. I can't keep that Neder. And I need another Eitzah. And the Rebbe says, you have a choice. Either it's your money, or your wife, pick which one you want. Either keep the nether, or ba'ova nidara mishnei mesa. Rebbe, we mat the nether. Oh, you made a nether out das rabbin. You made a nether in such a way that we keep you mat the nether. So you have a choice, your money or your wife. And Rav Asher realizes that he's trapped. The Rebbe trapped him and takes out his checkbook, like they say, and he sponsors the mikveh, and they live happily ever after. Okay, so is the story. Okay, a moral person makes a nether. Sometimes it works out good. It has a purpose. Okay. Don't try. Okay. The first pasuk beis vayidaber Moshe al Roshi Amatois l'Bnei Yisrael leima zehadavo asher tziva Hashem. Very interesting Rashi. Rashi says, Zehadova. What's Zehadova? Moshe Nisnabe, Moshe said Nevuah, the Koyom Hashem Kachatzais HaLayla. But Roshan Koy. He says in Pashas Boy, so says Hashem, Bachatzais HaLayla, I will go out and punish Mitzrayim. Nevi'im, also Nisnabu, also said Nevuah with a Roshan of Koyom Hashem. Koy is a Roshan the Nevi'im used. Moisef Aleihem Moshe. Moshe added on. Above the Nevi'im, Shnesnabu Beloshin Zehadova. He said a Nevuah with the words Zehadova. Zehadova Ashetziva Hashem. Not Koyom Hashem, but this is the din. This is what Hashem said. Zehadova. So Moshe used a Loshin the Nevi'im did not use. An extra Loshin the Nevi'im did not have. The Yismach Moshe, whose yard side is Chof Ches Tammuz, says, from this we learn out Zehadova. That one who makes a Neder, a Kabbalah that a person makes for a good purpose. He's makabal on himself, a Kabbalah, in order to elevate himself, to make himself stay away from an Aveira, to make himself do a Dabba Shebe Kedusha, it's Zehadov. It's Ke'ena Nevuah. He can become on such a high level like a Novi. And that's why the Lashon Nedarim is used with Zehadov, a Lashon of Nevuah that only Moshe was Zeichetu, because Zehadov. A remez to the idea that one who makes a Kabbalah on himself, takes upon himself a Kabbalah in order to improve his Avodas Hashem, his Torah, his mitzvahs, he could elevate himself to a very, very, very high level. Say over, very nice story. Yismach Moshe didn't allow anyone to sleep or lie down on his bed. His bed only he slept on, except for his gabbai. The gabbai Yismach Moshe held was a halo giyid. And he allowed the gabbai to sleep on his bed when he traveled. Yismach Moshe had gone away, and the gabbai went to sleep, and he lied down on the Yismach Moshe bed. The gabbai wakes up in the middle of the night, and his head is exploding from all the divrei Torah that he heard, that he saw in his dream, that he learned in his dream. And the gabbai jumps out of the bed, and before he forgets all the chidushim that he heard, he learned in his dream, he runs, takes the dips the quill in the ink and takes paper and he writes down all the chidushim. He spends a long time writing the chidushim, writing all the chidushim down that he learned in his dream. He shouldn't forget the chidushim that he learned. After he finishes, it's still dark outside. And the gabbai thinks to himself, what should I do? I have a minig that I don't go back to sleep. If I ever wake up in the middle of the night, I stay up the rest of the night and I learn. And many tzaddikim had that kabbalah, and if they woke up in the middle of the night, they wouldn't go back to sleep, they were finished for the night, they stayed up and they learned until the morning. So the gabbai said to himself, what should I do? On one hand, I should stay up and learn. On the other hand, look at the chidushei Torah I had in the bed from the Yismach Moshe and the dreams that I had. If I go back to sleep again, imagine how much more Torah I'll learn. Maybe it's kedai for me to go to sleep. And he's debating back and forth, should he keep his kabbalah of staying up, or should he go back to sleep? He decides to go back to sleep. He goes back to sleep and he strikes out. No dreams, no divrei Torah. He wakes up in the morning very disappointed. And he says to himself, but at least I have the divrei Torah that I learned the first part of the night. And of course he walks to the table where his divrei Torah are, and lo and behold, the bottle of ink he had left open on the table, and he finds that the bottle of ink had tripped over, had been knocked over, and it spilled all over the papers that he wrote, and all the chidushei Torah that he wrote were covered with ink, and he lost everything. When the Yismach Moshe came back, the gabbai told him the whole story. Yismach Moshe said to him,
"You went back to sleep.
From here you see, it's never ever kedai to go back on a kabbalah that you made. The person made a kabbalah to do a dvar mitzvah, a dovah shebe kedusha, with all the cheshbonis in the world that he has. I'm doing it because I'll hear more, I'll work. Doesn't pay. Person makes a kabbalah, a person has to keep the kabbalah that he made. Especially a kabbalah that he made, binyani ruchnis, in Yoni Torah, Kedusha, a person has to keep the Kabbalah that he made. And by going back in the Kabbalah and going back to sleep, he lost out that even the Chidush Torah that he did learn, he forgot and they were lost. The Pasuk says later on, in Perek Amin Aleph, Pasuk Yudalad, says the Pasuk, Vayik Saif Moshe. Moshe became angry at the Kudei Achayel. Moshe became angry on the soldiers, the Sari Halofim, the Sari Hameyois that came back from the Mochama. Pasuk Tezvov, Vayoyma Alehem Moshe, Moshe said to them, Hachayisem Kol Nekeva, did you let any of the Nekevois of Midian live? They weren't supposed to let any of the Nekevois live. And Mepharshim were all bothered, why in Pasuk Yudalid, it says, Vayiksaif Moshe, Moshe became angry. And then in Tezvov, it says, Vayoyma Alehem Moshe, Moshe said to them. It did not have to mention Moshe's name a second time. Vayiksaif Moshe, Vayoyimer Aleihem. Moshe became angry, and he said to them, no need to say, and Moshe became angry, and Moshe said to them. Obviously, Moshe is the one who's speaking to them. Just say, Moshe became angry, and he said to them. Why does it say Moshe's name again? And one of the most famous answers is, the Pasuk is teaching us that when a person becomes angry, first thing is to be quiet. Calm down before you say anything. Don't speak out of anger. Vayiksaif Moshe. Moshe became angry. Stop. Break. Recess. Vayoyma Aleihem Moshe. And after Moshe took a break, then he said to them, it wasn't one continuous flow. Moshe became angry and Moshe said, it says his name again to say, Moshe became angry. Vayoyma. And Vayoyma we know is a Lashon Raka. Dibur is a Lashon Kasha, a harsh Lashon, speaking harshly. Amira speaking softly. Vayoyimale, Moshe spoke to them softly. First he was angry. Then Moshe calmed down. And then Vayoyimale him Moshe. And then Moshe spoke to them softly. When a person is angry, it's never, never kedai to say out. Because when a person is angry and he starts to speak, tends to take things out of proportion and says things that shouldn't be said, then it makes matters much worse than they were.
What
Perek
and Pasuk is that?
Perek Laman Aleph, Pasuk Yudalad, Pasuk Tezvov. Vayiksaif Aleihem Moshe and Vayoyim Aleihem Moshe. Moshe is a Lashon, Amir is a Lashon Raka, a soft Lashon. The Pasuk says in Pasuk Mem Gimel, the Pasuk tells us, Kol Dova Asher Yavoi Va'esh, Ta'aviru Va'esh V'Toher. After they fought against Midian and they won the war, they took the Kalim away from Midian. How did they kasher the Kalim? So the Pasuk gives us instructions how they kasher the Kalim. In Perek Amin Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, called Dova Shiyova Be'esh. Any keli that was used with fire, Ta'aviru Ve'esh V'toher. How do you kasher it? You put it in the fire, and you kasher it, you purify it in the fire. And the Chidah says, very short, but very direct, says the Chidah, called Dova Shiyova Be'esh. Whenever a person comes into the fire of the Yetzer Hara, whenever a person feels the fire of the Yetzer Hara burning within him, he feels the Yetzer Hara is power, is overpowering him. What's the Yetzer? Taviru va'esh v'toher. He has to bring himself in the fire of Torah and purify himself. If he feels that she has the fire of the Yetzer Hara, the only way to overcome the Yetzer Hara is taviru va'esh v'toher, is to go into the fire of Torah. Learn Torah. Like the Gemara says, Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Torah Tavon. I created the Yetzer Hara. The Torah is the medicine, the antidote to the Yetzer Hara. Whenever a person feels the strength of the Yetzer Hara, the bread of the Yetzer Hara, go ahead and he uses the fire of Torah to fight off, to extinguish the fire of the Yetzer Hara. Parshas Maaseh, this I know we said over, the Dindul Magid's famous Moshul, the first Pasuk in Parshas Maaseh, I'm sorry, second Pasuk, on the Gimel Pasuk Beis. Vayichtoiv Moshe es moitzaehem l'mas'ehem api Hashem, ve'ela mas'ehem l'moitzaehem. Very funny Pasuk. Moshe wrote, they're leaving for the traveling api Hashem, and these are the travelings l'moitzaehem for the leaving Mitzrayim. The order of the Pasuk doesn't match. Moshe wrote, moitzaehem l'mas'ehem, which is first, moitzaehem. They're leaving l'mas'ehem for their traveling. The Pasuk ends off, Ve'ela mas'ehem l'moitzaehem. These are the travels for the leaving. It says mas'ehem first. Through the Magid, says a very nice moshing. There was once a young boy whose mother had died, and the father remarried. And the stepmother and the young boy did not get along. She was very mean to him, and he had a miserable life with his stepmother. And as he grew older, he couldn't wait for the day that he would marry and be able to leave the house and get away from the stepmother forever, once and for all. And the years go on, and he's counting down the days until he's able to leave. When the son turns 18, the father travels to Shatchan. Hears about a good shidduch. He travels to the city. He meets the girl's family, meets the kala, and decides on the spot, it's a perfect shidduch. They drink lachayim, make the tenayim. He goes home to his son, Mazel Tov, you're a chassan. The chassan is in 3 months from now. The son hears the news. He's excited. 3 more months in the house and he's out. He's a free man. And he can't wait until the day comes when he's able to leave the house and travel to the next city for his wedding. And he's counting down the days and the shopping and his suit and whatever, hat, whatever he needs. And the father's preparing for the chassana. And finally, it's time to leave for the wedding. It's time to leave for the wedding. They hire a stagecoach, a wagon, to take them to the wedding. The wagon comes in front of the house. They put whatever they need on the wagon, and the father and the son, the chassan, go on the wagon. And the wagon starts to travel.
Where's your wife?
She didn't come. And they're traveling on the wagon. And as soon as they leave the town, the chassan turns to the wagon driver and he says, "Tell me, how far away are we? How much did we travel?" And the driver says, "We traveled a mile. We're a mile out of the town." And half a day goes by, and the chassan again says to the wagon driver, "How far away are we? How far did we travel?" "We traveled 10 miles. And they keep traveling, and the father says to the wagon driver, "Tell me, when are we going to arrive in the city? How much longer do we have to travel?" "No, we have 5 miles left." So the boy says to his father, "I don't understand. I asked the wagon driver, how far are we? How much distance did we travel? Well, you asked the father, how much distance is there left? How close are we? Why are we asking different questions? Why am I asking how far away are we? And you're asking how close we are." And the father smiles and he says to the son, "Because you never met the Kali yet. You didn't meet a family. You don't know what's waiting for you. You don't know how good it is. In your eyes, all you could be happy about right now is the fact that you're leaving your stepmother and you're getting away from her for once and for all. So therefore, the more we traveled, the happier you are. So you want to hear, how far away are we? I'm a mile away from her. I'm 10 miles away. That makes you happy." But the father says, "I, on the other hand, I understand how good it will be for you. I understand what's happening to you. What a nice car you have, what a nice family you have, how your life is going to change for the better. And therefore, to me, the simcha, the happiness, is not that you're leaving the house, but the happiness is when you arrive at the chasana. So I am asking, when will we arrive?" Says the Dumno Magid, that's exactly what happened in the Pasuk. The Yidden left Mitzrayim. When the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they didn't understand at that point what they were going to achieve. They didn't understand they were going to go to Har Sinai, Kabbalah, Satayra, they were going to enter Eretz Yisrael. They had one thing on their minds. Get us out of Mitzrayim. They just worked in Mitzrayim, the Shibud, they just were by the Yamsuf, Mitzrayim is behind them, the Midbar's on the side, the Yamsuf, get us out! So therefore it says, Ve'eila Mas'ayim L'moitza'ayim. These are the journeys for the leaving. Because when Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, their Ikka Kavana was, L'moitza'ayim, take us out. The farther away from Mitzrayim, the better off we are. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, understood the real purpose of leaving Mitzrayim. It wasn't just to get away. It was for the future. For Kabbalah Satayra, for Eretz Yisrael, for the Beis HaMikdash. Moshe understood the good they were going to have later on. So therefore, Moshe, it says, Vayichtoiv Moshe, Moshe wrote, Es Moitzoehem L'Masehem. They're leaving L'Masehem, for the purpose of traveling further. Because Moshe understood the goal was not just to leave, the goal was the future. The good that we have in the future, Masehem, Al Pi Hashem. Just a lesson in life. When a person travels, we all travel through life. A person has to know where he's heading. Where is he going? Is he going in the right direction? Well, sometimes we make a wrong turn, make a U-turn, and we end up going in the wrong direction. A person has to know where he's heading. Is he heading in the right direction or not? V'eila ma'aseh. Eila ma'aseh b'nei Yisrael. So, if you look through all the Masois, the letter Zion does not appear in any of the Masois. Go through all the Masois, here I'm getting a Masai, the letter Zion does not appear at all. And the Mepharshim bring down, the letter Zion is not here, as a remez to show us that Bnei Yisrael did not travel on Shabbos. There were no Masois on Shabbos. So the letter Zion does not appear in any of the names of the Masois at all, because the Yidden did not travel on Shabbos. You checked it out?
I did.
Yes. Okay. They didn't travel. Okay. They didn't travel. They did not travel on. They did not travel on Shabbos. Okay. Being that we're holding now Rosh Chodesh Av, we're holding the 3 weeks between Shabbos B'Tammuz and Shabbos B'Tammuz. I came across the Gemara in Bechairis with the Marsha that ties in very nicely. The famous Gemara in Bechairis on Ches on the Beis. The Lord brings down the Sabe de Beatuna and Rebbe Shua and Rebbe Shua. The elders of Beatuna of Athens and Greece and Rebbe Shua had a whole debate. And the Gemara goes through the whole discussion they had. And at first, it's a very puzzling discussion. The words we could translate, but the meaning behind it is pretty much a closed book. And the Gemara brings down, Isolate Rebbe. They brought to Rebbe Shua two eggs. Omalei, they said to Rebbe Shua, Hai dezokso uchmesi, v'ha dezokso chivrosi. Which egg is from the black chicken? Which egg is from the white chicken? They brought him two eggs, and he asked Rabbi Yeshua, can you tell us which egg is from the black chicken, which egg is from the white chicken? So what does Rabbi Yeshua do? Aisiluhu ihu tre gavini. He brings them two blocks of cheese. Two pieces of cheese. Amuhu, and he says, hey deizi uchmesi, which cheese is from the black goat and which cheese is from the white goat? That's the Gemara. Then they move on to the next question and answer in the debate. Very puzzling. What were they symbolizing with the eggs? What was Rabbi Yeshua symbolizing back with the cheese? So there's a Marsha here in Chesam Abayz, and the Marsha says the following. It says the Marsha that it takes 21 days for the egg to hatch. 21 days. Versus elsewhere, Tanagailas takes 21 days. Chof Aleph Yoink. When they showed the two eggs, they were referring to the two Zmanim in the Jewish calendar that are 21 days. Which two times are 21 days? Between Rosh Hashanah and Hashanah Rabbah. Hashanah Rabbah's Chof Aleph Tishrei is 21 days, which are days of Din, but also Slicha, Mechila, Kapara, Ava, Sukkis. Those are, so to speak, good days for Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael has good days, 21 good days. But there's another egg representing the 21 Seir days. Between Shabbos B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, there are exactly 3 weeks, 21 days. So they said to Rabbi Shua, there's no hope for Bnei Yisrael. It's true you have 21 good days, but corresponding to your 21 good days, you have 21 days of sadness, of punishment, of destruction. And they cancel each other out, and there's no hope. You have nothing left. Rabbi Shua shows them two pieces of cheese. And he says, which one comes from the black goat? Which one comes from the white goat? By looking at the cheese, you can't tell. The two goats represent the Sar Hashem and the Sar Azazel that we bring on Yom Kippur. The soil Hashem, the Kohen Gadol is makriv, and brings in a base of Mikdash. The soil Azazel, he pushes off the cliff, and it dies, and as the goat rolls down the cliff, our averis are forgiven. And the Mishnah Numa tells us, they tied a red string, first by the Heichel, then by the goat, by the rack, and when the soil went over the cliff, the string turned white, it's a simin, that our averis were forgiven, a simin. Yeshua was saying to them, look, we have a black goat, the soil Azazel, which is represents Esav. We have a white goat, the soil brought in the base of Mikdash. And yet, they're both for our Te'elis. Both of them bring about our Kapor. The soil in the base of Mikdash, and the soil Azazel, because the red string turns white when the soil Azazel goes off the cliff. And he said, the same is true with the 21 days. Don't think the 21 days between Shavuos Matamas and Tisha B'Av are days of Peronios, are sad, are days that don't give us any hope. The 21 days are just as good, Slicha, days of Slicha, Mechila, Bekapara, as the 21 days between Rosh Hashanah and Hashanah Rabbah. Just remember the Mashah's Lashon inside. His Lashon is, Tikamai Shachof Alaf Yoim, just like the 21 days, Shemi Rosh Hashanah and Hashanah Rabbah, from Rosh Hashanah till Hashanah Rabbah, told us, Libun Oven Bekapara Layem, bring about our cleansing, our kapara. Gam Kain, okay, also Yemei Chof Alaf Yom, the 21 days of Peronios, from Yud Zayin Metamos until Tes B'Av, from Shabbos Metamos until Tisha B'Av, Hayatoldos Libun Avoinos. There are also days of our Averis being forgiven, Kiat Saros, Yisurim, Mechaprim, Kamashikosav, Agolos Mechaprim. Because Saros and Yisurim are Mechaprim for a person. So these are also days of kapara. Person can have a kapara on these 21 days, just like you have a kapara between Rosh Hashanah and Hashanah Rabbah. These are also days of hope. Not like they said to Rabbi Yeshua, these are 21 seer days, their days, and cancels out the 21 good days. Rabbi Yeshua showed them back, no, that even the days of peronios, even the days of sin, it's the days of punishment, are also the te'elis, are also for the te'elis of Klal Yisrael. And they are also...
Te'elis? What is te'elis?
Purpose. Purpose of a purpose. And they also bring hope to Bnei Israel. They also could achieve a kapara. When a person fails, and a person cries, and he feels a little sad, Yisurim, that brings about a kapara. I forget, the person who mourns over Yerushalayim is likely to see the Gula. It's a preparation for the Gula. They say over a story, no kashis on a maisa. What's the Rebbe once came in, was late for Tish. And he asked the Rebbe, why are you late? And their understanding, the Nicole's understanding. And Rebbe was late. So they asked the Rebbe why he was late. So he said he was trying to hold, he was holding back Mashiach from coming. Mashiach was ready to come, and he was holding Mashiach back from coming. And he had to delay the Tish because he had to stop Mashiach from coming. So they looked at him and said, stop Mashiach from coming? Rebbe, what's the matter? He said, because HaMashiach come now, there are too many Yidden that are not ready for Mashiach. And it wouldn't have been good if Mashiach would come, when Mashiach would come now. So one of the Chassidim said, for that you stop Mashiach? And the Rebbe said, yeah, because you're not ready yet. You're not ready. Because you're not ready yet. So you're not ready. If you could say that, you care about another Yid, you're not ready. You're not ready for Mashiach to come. Okay, a story, take it however you want. But the bottom line is that we must follow. We hope Mashiach comes. We hope Beis Hamikdash. But we have to feel a little tzar. We have to feel a little bit. Think a little bit. Feel a little tzar. Yisurim. A short zman. Whatever time it is, when a person feels a tzar, Yisurim, it's machabra avaynos. Prepares him for the gula and prepares us for have Mashiach. The modcha min advayin. It's your Rebbe, no? The modcha. Okay, so the they say that people that had Tzaras, you would tell them Dafka to come on the 9 days, to come to him during the 9 days between Rosh Chodesh Av and Tisha B'Av. Because in those days, are Yemei Slicha, bring about a Kapar, and a person can have Yeshuas on those days. So instead of looking at these days as depressing days, and days a person is down, and we can't do this, and we can't do that, and it's restriction, and there's too many restrictions, too many halachas, it's hot in the middle of the summer. Fuck it. Think for a minute what the purpose is. The purpose is we should have a feel for the Chubin of Beis HaMikdash. Feel a little tzar, feel a little yisurim, prepare ourselves for the Gula. We should have a bizaycha that by feeling, bizaycha to see the Nechama, bizaycha to see Mashiach, so can't marry him, Amen.